Most people know that Apartments.com is the most popular place to find a place. That's because Apartments.com has the most rental listings and the most ways to find them. And thanks to some of the most powerful tools like 3D virtual tours. So you'll most likely find your most right place. And I think most everyone would agree that that's good news. Unless you're part of a most peculiar minority of people who prefer to have less than the most. Make the most of your obvious move for your next move. And use Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who was today years old when I found out Big Brother Canada definitely is not rigged. I am Rob's sister, Nina. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother Monday Night Podcast. Highly anticipated episode of Big Brother Canada to find out the answers to all of our fake double eviction cliffhangers. And we found out that it was Tara who knocked out Jedson to come back into the house. And then we had a lot of reactions to that and then found out our new HOH. It was Brayden, a lot to talk about here tonight with our panel. First, a man with a long weekend off, which does not often get to happen during Big Brother season. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Doing great. Rob, we beat him. He's gone. The guy that couldn't be beat. He's gone.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody beat him. But he still would have won.
Amazing.
So I'm very glad.
Yeah. The real David versus Goliath story. A lot to unpack there, of course, here with us tonight for the first of a couple of times with me this week. Matt Liguori is here. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. The season is chaotic, and tonight only just furthered all of that. I feel like I just remembered that the season is back on tonight, so now that we're all back in BB Can mode after a couple days off, we're all energized, and especially after the end of that, so this is going to be fun.
All right, and nobody is having more fun tonight than this woman who is on cloud nine. Please welcome in the number one Brayden stan out there. Here is Kirsten McInnes.
Hey, listen, Rob, I'm a gambling man. I like to gamble, and I'm feeling lucky tonight, okay? I'm on the top of the world. I'm so happy right now.
All right. Kirsten has been pushing all season long. Brayden is your final five HOH, not a fake week even.
Yeah, this competition counts. The week matters. We'll see what happens next. I'm just so happy. King of wagers, Jaunt. King of knowing days, and king of knowing the exact number in the tiebreaker.
Yeah, nailed it. If this price is right, you get an extra $100, I think.
He deserves it. Deserves everything.
Maybe $500. I don't remember. Anyway, good job there by Brayden, and a lot to unpack here tonight. We are live. And looking forward to hearing some questions from you, the live audience, as well as we are in the final weeks here of Big Brother Canada 9. All right. Taryn, let me just get the reaction. Okay, we waited all weekend, 72 hours for this. Your initial reactions?
Was that I didn't care anymore. I felt like I cared a lot in the moment. And then 5 days later, I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, either way, they're going to have to, you know, probably win something. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then the outcome was even more like, OK, so it's just the same as what it was going to be. It's all one big loop here.
Yeah.
Well, and shouldn't you be happy then, Taryn, that it neutered the twist? Or are you against that now based on the result? Like, what's happening?
I mean, I was rooting for the twist to have some impact, to be entertaining, but it didn't.
Yeah,
I think that's the wildest part, that I feel like most of us were probably expecting Jed to come back in, just seeing Jed and how he's done in competitions, but nope.
Well, look, for all of the talk that is there any sort of like production interference? Like, you have to feel like 100% that the production would have rather had Jed come back. Am I wrong on this?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what are they going to do? Like, weight the balls? Like,
hey, look, but everything's on the table here.
They could have just pushed Tara, you know?
Yeah.
Would have been fine.
Pushed her where?
Yeah.
I don't know. They go on the ground under the okay. stage and just all right. knock comes her out ankle, and just go her out. About, I don't know.
How about this? That is, this is an overdue. Jedson, you stupid idiot. You won the veto last week and nobody, and you got off easy because we said, oh, well, all right, fake double eviction. He's probably mm-hmm. coming back, right? You stupid idiot. You used the veto on Beth and now you're out of the game.
I feel like that righteous anger has a little bit been lost as well. Yeah. I feel like.
And we were rooting for you to get back in and then you couldn't even beat Tara in the competition.
that's the ending. The ending is not I just used the veto on Beth and got voted out. The ending is I just lost to Tara, and that's like not
both
nearly
things.
As interesting.
Twice.
Shame
Twice.
On you, Jed. Shame well, on you.
I mean, here's the thing. There was a lot of talk last week of okay, well, like maybe it's just you know destiny. He'll get to come back in to make up for his poor decision.
Yes.
No, the world said. You messed up and you have to live with the consequences. Like Jed is going, like I do, like he did this to himself, but yes. I do feel for him because he is going to be replaying this past week over and over in his head for years to come. And his poor choices. I know when I see Brayden next, I'll be giving him a little smack for allowing himself to go on the block, but all's well that ends well. Can't be too upset.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel like that nobody was that worked up about the Jed stuff last week because it was like, well, you know, he'll probably be back. It was a huge mistake, but it wasn't fatal.
And it was kind of up in the air, right? If he was even going to go, like we were pretty sure, but not 100% sure. So then he does go, but then it's like, is he actually going to be gone? He's probably going to win the comp to come back, but now he's gone. Like
yeah.
he didn't use the veto on himself. He's gone.
And then afterwards, like, well, okay, well, then he's going to beat Tara or in the competition, and then he'll be back in. You have to feel like probably he had like a 80-90% chance to win the battle back against Tara to get back into the house again. No, he didn't.
Well, that competition was so close, though. I know a lot of people like to, you know, zone out during the competitions, and I'm normally one of those people. But I, like, literally this whole episode, my heart was racing so fast. I'm sitting watching the battle back, like, oh my God, Jed has two, he's about to have three. Oh my God, one got knocked over. Oh my God, now Tara has
two. It was exciting.
Oh my God, then hers got knocked over. Like, it was very suspenseful and dramatic.
Here's my problem with it. When the episode opened, we got a diary room from Tara, and she was very chipper, talking about her experience not being out of the game. And then we got a diary room from Jed, and he literally had tears streaked down his face as he talked about the experience that he had.
Well, these people was
the biggest giveaway I've ever seen in Big Brother.
It doesn't even matter, okay? We don't hire these people to be actors, okay? We don't expect that from them.
I mean, they had 4 days. To like reshoot these
you're right.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, it's going back and forth. It's so exciting. Also shout out to Lauren from production who was holding the You're Not Out of the Game Yet sign.
She was good.
She was great.
Nobody did that better than Lauren.
Every time they bring in a production member to like, carry Kiki out of the house or hold up a sign, it's always someone that I've spent time with and like a lot.
You know, when we got Jed and Tara in the HOH room and she said, I got to tell you everything. I got to tell you about like that was great. I was like, oh, man, I can't believe it. Jed's going to come back in the game. He's going to know everything. It was Kiefer's plan. This is going to be so exciting. But, you know, for all for naught.
The emotion
really matter.
Is pouring out between the two of them. Like, oh, my God, it's you. I'm so sorry. I can't believe it. We have to tell each other everything. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tara really chose to take her time to spill whatever she could spill, which was really what was wild to me is that during the like fake double, they show the scene of Ty, Kiefer, and Brayden talking about what they're going to do with the veto. And then they show Beth and Tara just talking about what to do in case the veto gets used, but they did not once show either of them pleading to Brayden to use the veto on them. Neither of them really fought in that moment. So I don't think it's super unfair that the veto didn't get used and they just did what Ty wanted in that moment. Like, they had a plan as an alliance. They stuck with it. I think acting unpredictable in a hectic moment like that almost does more harm than good anyways. I can't believe Beth and Tara, though, like, we don't even see them try to approach about the veto. That doesn't add up to me.
They're campaigning for each other's vote.
They may have, and we just didn't see. I mean, I think they said it was 15 minutes. Though. So,
like, I think they would have shown us at least a little bit. Like, you can't just not show the nominees asking, right? Because I assume that Brayden would have had a hilarious response. It would have been great content. They love to highlight Brayden on the show. They would have shown if they were, like, actually trying to get him alone in the room.
I can confidently say that Big Brother Canada would show anything.
Big Brother Canada would never withhold footage from us. I don't know what you're trying to say. Stop it.
I'm not saying in every context. You don't have to build a little straw man to get at me here. That's not what I said. But I just think it, like, normally in a double situation, we get to at least see something if they have approached that person. It's weird that we didn't see it. It's because I think that it would have been an interesting pitch from either of them.
Mm-hmm. We got to see a lot of the fake Final Four, Matt, partying during this. I feel like we got so much of the Final Four just hooting and hollering and carrying on and dancing.
And you never see a moment like that because you usually don't go from 5 to 4 as quickly as they did there. So it was, you know, it was a celebration. They made it to Final Four, or so they thought. But yeah, they went pretty wild. They were jumping all around the house. I mean, that was the beginning of like a 15, 20 minutes of people jumping, running around the house in circles, Beth marching all over the couch. I'm like, get off the couch. What are you doing?
Yeah. Karen, we saw Beth run the gamut of emotions in this episode.
Yeah. I was watching this and I had my own Rachel moment where I was just like, what is wrong with Beth? Like, what is happening here? She was so sad that Jed left and then so happy immediately after. And then so happy to see that Jed had a chance to come back and then so pissed when he didn't. And then just like, I can't be fake. No.
No.
When we've seen her be fake, she's not good at it. Mm-hmm. So she's not wrong about that. She's very bad.
That encapsulates her entire game, though.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Lots of emotions, lots of different couches, lots of different rooms. And
just kept like wandering around to plop on a different couch and mope.
Lots of like fully reclined Beth crying in this episode. And then we got a little break of that to get fully reclined Tara crying for a minute. Like, this, why do we need this? It's why are they spending more time on people just crying/celebrating things that are kind of meaningless than they did on the entire second eviction portion of the episode on Thursday? Like, they glossed over that so fast. And then so much of this episode is just like, okay, we're waiting. Oh, we're on this couch. Oh, we're in the Expedia room. Oh, we're in the bed. Oh, we're in the storage room. And it was like, but you didn't give us the substance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got to get to it. Got to cover every angle of this reaction to the fake double eviction, yeah. Kirsten.
I feel like you know how sometimes house guests will be like, oh, we don't know what cameras are on. Sometimes they think like, oh, only certain cameras are on at certain times of the day. So maybe Beth was like, let me just put this show on for every single camera in every single room. They'll surely get it at some point. And then they got it and they were like, oh, let's just use it from every different angle to show how sad Beth is that she just voted out her man and now she's sad about it. And yeah.
I miss the old days of Big Brother when, you know, Dr. Will, he only romanced one camera. He was a one camera guy. There were no triangles. It was just a one-on-one kind of situation.
I miss, like, you know, BB Can 3 when Godfrey's like, let me find the one place where the cameras can't see that I'm napping and I'll stay there instead of cycling from camera to camera to find where you'll be on the show.
Look, this cast is playing it up. They knew everybody is watching tonight. Everybody was going to tune in to see how this fake double eviction played out. This was like going to be This is going to be a huge ratings winner, right?
Fake double eviction. Beth can't be fake. That's an interesting
True. That's why it didn't go well for her. Probably.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
So
we just blew that case wide open.
Nailed it.
I'm just worried about like during the episode, I saw people tweeting about the episode,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just concerned for their ratings that if people are tweeting about the episode as it's happening, and other people are going to know what's happening in the episode, it's going to be spoiled for them. Then why would they watch?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
I feel like they should try and maybe shut down Twitter.
Wow.
I think that would help ratings as well.
Yeah.
Just it makes sense by the logic they've been going with. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that just reading between the lines that the reason for probably the live feed blackout has to be that the theory being that more people will be watching the episode tonight if there's no live feeds for the weekend.
Well, yeah, famously, the people who watch the live feeds never watch the edited show, okay? Like, mm-hmm. obviously, why would anyone watch the show and the feeds? Mm-hmm. Make any sense?
I just want to see the numbers. Like, I really want to know. I mean, I'm sure that they will exist in a couple of days. We'll see how great this episode did compared to all the others. But the big reveal that didn't even come for like 20 minutes into the episode to see what actually happened. And, you know, sure, it was relatively exciting. And the result was, you know, unexpected in a way and whatever. But just, I mean, the 4 days, I don't know how much we want to get into it all. But it was just so BB can, but still so like... took the air out of the sail, or that's not the expression, whatever, of the season.
And it
wasn't
wind fun. Out of the sail.
Wind out of the sail, yeah. Not the air. Well, wind is air. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, but now, you know, it's kind of a gift to Taryn because now he gets to puzzle out what we missed and let us know tomorrow morning. So it's
I've had such a blast so far listening to Beth on the feed.
Yeah.
It's just listen. I'm sure the ratings will be good for this episode because it would have been good for this episode. Like this episode was a continuation of a very big moment that they did leave off with. But if they think that that means that turning the feeds off equals better ratings, I think they're out of their mind. I think that the people that don't care, that just look on Twitter and see what happens, they will continue to not care. And they will just see what happens based on this episode. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that big. If anything, they will forget about the show and stop caring. And stop looking at anything. Nobody's going to be like, well, I have to tune in to find out. Like, no, you'll find out one way or another. So, you know, it's something that only hurts the people who actually care about the show and the live feeds. And I think that it's a very silly move. And I understand that it doesn't matter to the people who don't care about the feeds. I am definitely of the opinion that the people who do care about the show and watch the feeds are the lifeblood of the show. It's just a silly move to cut the feeds off for so long.
Right. I'm just imagining the producers on a Zoom call, like, hey, you know what would be really funny? If we do this and then we just turn off the feeds. Just turn them off. See mm-hmm. what happens. At least they told us this time.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, came on Thursday night, just like just a heads up, no live feeds for the weekend, just to let you know.
Yeah, at least they told us is like the most Stockholm syndrome.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not sitting here supporting the decision mm-hmm. like at all. Like I think it was just from a strategic standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from a business standpoint, stupid across the board. But like for us, who, how many times have we sat refreshing the live feeds for hours or days for them to not come back? Like, at least this weekend, I was like, okay, I don't have to sit and refresh this. I can go outside and I don't have to be worried. It's like the bar is in hell, literally. Yeah. Okay. But they were able to at least cross that.
All right. Well, let's get back to Tara comes back into the house. And we go from Tara, we have to vote you out to like, oh, my God, like the greatest player of all time. Of course, this is the house where you just get nonstop, get hyped up no matter what you do. We couldn't beat you, Tara. The resume was so impressive, Tara. It's just like, that's why you had to go.
When that door rose and she came back into the house and they saw like skinnier, littler legs than Jed's and they saw it wasn't him, the shock. I mean, you saw it because they cut off the feed right during the competition. So they didn't know what was going to happen. And then when she walked into the house, I imagine that they were, you know, as shocked as they seemed to be. And then the reactions that came after that, like, oh my God, you're here. It was like seeing a ghost.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, nobody expected that. And no. Then you've got like, they then start galloping around the living room and kitchen. Brayden is jumping over the couch. Ty is running in circles. I'll admit, I was like, I don't understand this reaction to anything. But then that's basically what I did at the end of the episode anyways. So like, maybe I get it. I don't know.
It was the We Made Final Five celebration. They skipped over that. So they had to go back and do that. Since they did the We Made Final Four celebration, they had to, you know, get both in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jed has to be the biggest three-win comp beast I have ever seen in the history of the show. He made it to the final six, and he won a total of three competitions. And... It's honestly like very only one of them was a veto only one of them was an HOH. Two of them were vetoes, which means he competed against four other people to win those two competitions. And then the HOH that he won was what, at final seven? So he was competing against five other people. Like, this guy is not like a massive, he's not unbeatable. As we just witnessed, as he lost a one-on-one competition that he had the edge for. And yet, even though he just lost that competition, they are still running around going, I can't believe it! He's unbeatable! Now Tara's unbeatable! What are we gonna do?
Yeah,
but that's this. They've been like this all season. It'll be like someone won one competition and they'll be like,
Brayden, can't say that. Brayden, you can't stop him now.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, first of all, that's true. You can't. It's fine. But it, like, wasn't it like at one point? I think in a goodbye message to LaToya, who won nothing, I think Brayden was like, "You're just a comp beast. We had to get you out." It's like, listen, we're playing fast and loose with the definition of comp beast in BBCan 9.
It was not fair to Jedson. They put him up in a trick shot contest against Trick Shot Tara.
Okay. But I think that Jedson would have definitely won if he had just practiced throwing the ball straight and getting the right rhythm of how hard he needed to throw them. Like, adding in a bounce is too unpredictable. Like, he, again, played himself.
No, I disagree. I think the angle is the way to play this because it gives you more space at the end.
Yeah.
The problem is that he never adjusted enough to get it right.
They were all about the angles. They were isosceles.
Yeah. But I mean, Jed's competition record, by the way, is 30%. He played 10 competitions. He lost seven of them, and that's not including the re-entry comp that he also lost.
In baseball, that's an all-star, Taryn. 3 out of 10. Maybe that's all you need.
Maybe if he was on steroids, he would have done better. Speaking of baseball.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Tara's back in the house, and she's Jed's kryptonite. What a story that Tara has to tell the jury now, Matt.
And look, I mean, compared to where we were at with the Tara-Tina dynamic, it was getting a little like something had to be shaken up there. And Tina wasn't given really a whole lot while she was still in the house. So now that Tina's gone and Tara's kind of emerging as like, I don't know, there's something to her story now. And it felt like that wasn't the case earlier. So I feel like there is something there. I don't know that anyone's out. Well, there's probably like one or two people out here like standing Tara. But like, you know, as
well,
we get closer.
Tara fans, let me tell you.
I think I've seen one or two.
On that bird app.
As we get closer and closer to the end game, I feel like they have a story to work with on the show for Tara.
At least she has an arc now. I mean, I feel like that she was just there for a long time. And at least now she has like this comeback story.
I also just like how people, it seemed like immediately the response wasn't like, oh, Tara's going to come at us all with a vengeance. Did they not see how much she hated Jed from like week two and would not give it up until he was gone? She will hold a grudge, that woman.
Who's she holding a grudge against?
well, right now it's all of them, which is not going to work great for her. That's the big issue. Like when she started, you know, giving information to Beth and then to Jed, she's giving information that nobody is trustworthy. And it's like, well, thanks for that. I can trust no one. You have to trust someone. So now I'm just lost, which is particularly true for Beth and Jed. And yeah, they like being lost.
Yeah.
And changing their minds.
Wait, Taryn, could we try to just evaluate Beth here for a minute? You know, Beth, who, you know, seemed totally on board to vote Jed out of the house. She's dancing while Jed is gone. And then it seemed, I know she hates Fake, but when she's crying about Jed, I miss you, babe. That seems like weird that that came up at that particular time. She did not seem to miss it, even though Jed was still gone. She did not seem to miss him while she was part of the final four. But then once Tara came back in the house, all of a sudden she missed Jed.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality here is that all season long, she's been trying to pretend to be this person that's like, nah, I'm gonna cut Jed. And she's been portraying that to the other players. She was trying to all week long save Jed while also trying to be like, nah, I'm totally willing to cut him. It's fine. I'm not even worried about it. And so when he left, I think she was like, hey, look, you guys kept me. Don't get rid of me next. But I'm with you guys. And I was totally in on everything that just happened. But then when the possibility of him actually coming back flashed before her eyes and then was dashed away again, she just lost it. And she was just like, I just can't anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, you know, we got that, you know, we saw tonight that she was so emotional because Jed's gone and she misses him so much. But wasn't it like 10 days ago she was trying to pawn him off to one of her friends to say like, oh, I have this friend that you'll be great with. I think they're really going to like you. You're going to like them, which was its own story. But and now she misses him so much.
Yeah, Beth Franzel is in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just seems like maybe she was sad about that. Maybe her game was going down the tubes as opposed to that it was just the loss of Jed in that moment that was just so upsetting to her.
What? Because her game was so good before? Like, come on.
Well, that's been her thing all season long, right? She's been like feeling like she's doing really good things or she's making moves or she's really in charge of her game. And like, that's what the whole thing was with, I mean, not necessarily that it was about her, but when Ty made a comment and she like yelled at Ty about what he said, she's just been very much like marching. See, I keep messing up every expression I'm trying to say tonight, beating the drum of, you know, my game has been valuable and not everybody seeing that and all this stuff. So now that like, you know, like Rob said, like her game is starting to continuing to kind of like the pieces are chipping away at it. It's just not, you know.
Yeah. But if people don't see your game as valuable, the way to make them think that you're valuable is not to yell at them about how your game is valuable and you never get credit. That's just further pushing the narrative of oh, don't give me credit. You're putting that in their heads. If you want people to see value in you, you have to provide value to them. Like, you can't just sit there and be like, oh, no one gives me credit.
No, you hype yourself up. Then you say, like, oh, my God, I'm playing one of the greatest games of all time. Can you believe it? What a legend.
The Mullet Man stepped out of the grave.
Easy.
Like, Beth is sitting there.
She needs a nickname.
And maybe she thinks that she's manifesting people to give her credit, but she's sitting there literally manifesting for them to not see value in her.
You got to show. You can't tell. It's get to the end of the game. Give me Paris Kayla energy at when you get to the final two and demand people respect your game and tell them what you did and like be passionate about it in that moment. But spending like 3-4 weeks now of just, you know, I deserve credit for this and nobody's going to give me credit for this. Like you said, Kirsten, I agree. It's like,
Again, if you want to win, you have to give the Paris energy. You cannot be giving the Kayla energy. That's not what wins a game of Big Brother.
All right. We got then Beth chatting with Ty about Ty. What happened here? And Ty said he just thought that Jed was going to pick his girlfriend over his best guy friend and says that at the time that they got Jed to use the veto on Beth. I didn't know that it was going to go down this way. I just didn't want to. Then I didn't want to be the guy who was going to have to make the decision, Taryn. This is inaccurate, correct?
Yes, completely. He's still lying about this. Now, Beth is still in the game, so like maybe he thinks there's some value in this, but he said the same to Jed on the way out the door. I know that the goodbye messages were released. I don't know what he said in the goodbye messages. I did not have a chance to watch them. But I mean, I don't know if this is one of those things where like he feels like technically it's true because like, hey, I could have changed my mind. I wasn't 100% locked in. But this is a very strange sort of way of going about it. I've said it before, but it's very Paul from Big Brother 19 to just like full on ignore and deny the betrayals that you made.
Hmm.
I got to admit, I've never looked at Ty and thought about Paul.
Well, do you see home?
What?
Are we in BB 21 now?
all right. And then we got to see another conversation, Tara and Kiefer. And Kiefer comes in. Oh, my God. You trick shot Tara. You did it. And she says she still wants to work with Kiefer. So... somehow that Taryn, this guy Kiefer keeps rolling along.
He's got to work with someone. Mm-hmm. But I think that the Ty and Brayden pair, I have to imagine at this point, will become the focal point for the rest of the house guests. And so if you're Tara and you're coming back into the game, all three of them just betrayed you. You have to at least know, well, Ty and Brayden, like Ty has Brayden snowed and Brayden it like is willing to take Ty to the end. So like Ty can beat Brayden. Brayden's willing to take Ty. That's the most dangerous pair. And then you have Kiefer, who's kind of like, he's got to win his way. He's not being taken by either of them. So he's the most valuable piece to go to. Apart from obviously Beth, who should also be somebody that she tries to work with. You know, with this HOH results, there's only so much you can do.
Okay, on that note, let's get to this Brayden and Ty conversation. We saw that Ty feels like that he wants to work with Brayden. He's put a lot of work into this relationship. He called it an investment. Brayden feels like he could trust Ty 100%. Kirsten, how are you feeling about Brayden and Ty?
I hope that both teams are having a good time. You know, it's not the worst thing. At least Brayden has someone, and it's not like with Austin when they were just like stuck being BFFs and ignoring everyone else. Brayden's at least talking to other people now. So.
Sure, but I want to get your reaction as the number one Brayden stan out there. Are you concerned about Brayden Ty going to the final two?
I mean, honestly, I don't think it's as obvious as it seems. Like, I do think that Brayden has a chance. I think there's been a lot of talk about him not having a chance. I don't think that's true. Now he's got two comp wins under his belt. And honestly, there's every indication that he'll have more. I think now Brayden and Ty definitely will both be in the final four. So that's two people fighting for that veto / HOH situation. I don't think it's a bad spot.
Okay, Matt, do we think that Jed and potentially Beth, could they be bitter jurors against Ty if Ty is in the final two and they're not?
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's always a chance, but I feel like what we've seen from Jed, even tonight, like him comforting Tara, like he is just a good guy. Like he is just a nice, genuine, good guy. And I feel like he's going to understand that he made the dumb move. He's going to get to jury and Victoria is going to whack him upside the head. Rohan and Tina won't care much, but Victoria would be like, what is wrong with you? She'll let him know how stupid he was for the veto move. And I feel like when he, you know, has time to sit with it and maybe if another jury member comes and they talk it out a little bit more, I don't think he's going to hold it against Ty. I don't know if he's going to hold it against Beth either, but I don't know that Beth is going to be there. I feel like my answer would be no.
Honestly, my question is, now that Brayden has won a second competition and he just beat Tara, does Ty start going, oh no, I can't beat Brayden anymore. Now I got to take Kiefer. Kiefer's the only one that hasn't beat
Jed. Don't do
Jed.
That. That's not a
because
good idea.
Because by the transitive property of Tara beating Jed and Brayden beating Tara, they've all beaten Jed and now Kiefer's the only one that hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Big Brother Canada 9 has seen possibilities where we've thought things were impossible.
This is, we normally give and give and give, and it is our turn to receive, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Should we talk about the HOH? I did feel like that the show really did tip their hand that this was going to be Brayden's HOH. Yes. After we got a lot. Taryn, we only got a segment from Brayden about how it's his time to win the HOH.
Yeah, we spent 4 days with the feeds down to have the most telegraphed episode in the show's history. And they were like, yeah, like two separate, I'm playing this game for Ty, guys. I'm going to the end with Ty. Ty's my guy. I'm with Ty. Hey, look, there's another conversation with Ty. Just reaffirming that we have a relationship and it's my time to win something, guys. Here we go. And then, like, in the competition itself, it was like, I know exactly what I'm doing. I've got all this down. I know exactly, and, like, the cool music behind him. I was like, okay, I
would
get it.
And what about it? And what about it? That's mm-hmm. television.
Yeah. Although, Matt, we did get a big twist at the end where then Beth goes all in. And even though Brayden was betting that he got the question right, I guess his bet got conservative towards the end. And then we had a tie. And I said for a second, hold on a second. But then we had Brayden nail the tiebreaker question.
Yeah, I'll admit they got me. I felt got. I saw the stack, and I, because Beth is the other person that I had potentially thought could be a candidate to win after the whole everything that, you know, they added for her in the beginning of the episode. Like, maybe this is where she begins her push to the end. And then she's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going all in. And then it was even funnier when the results played out the way it did, and she could not believe it. She's like, I just put every single one I had. And,
yeah, and this woman has the audacity to be like, well, I went all in, so I deserve to win. Yeah, you did worse in the competition overall. If you'd done better on the other questions and gone all in, you would have won, but you lost. You played yourself. Shut up. Take a seat. Go away.
I don't know how they expected people to be like moving their wagers up and down. Like, the categories, Taryn, were not especially descriptive of like, all right, the category is good times. Like, oh, okay. I studied all of the sad times in the house. All right, I'm gonna like hedge my bet on this one.
Yeah, I was really excited about this competition because it was a great way to shake up the sort of typical question competition. But I felt like they botched it in multiple ways, which was the categories. Absolutely. They described nothing about the question. The categories were completely useless. They didn't even need them there. And then also, I felt like trying to keep track of who was betting what and who had how much was impossible. I felt like I was just watching the confessionals, and it was very obvious from the way Brayden was talking that he must be winning this competition.
Not to mention the questions were like, did this happen on day 37 or day 38? Like, it was like a lot of like coin flip type questions.
Yeah. The 60 minutes versus 68, and they were all confident that it was 60. I think they all said 68, but it was 60. It's like, wow, you really got them. These trick questions.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know, they had a cool wheel.
The wheel looked really cool. And they looked great.
And they all looked great. They looked tied great. With that light behind him. I was like, make this your profile picture when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have a lot of options for that.
Yeah. Looked great. Congratulations to Brayden. Finally, HOH at the final five, Kirsten.
Yeah, he's been so close on so many competitions. And so, you know what? Just exciting to see him win. I think he has it in him to win a whole lot more. Don't sleep on Brayden.
Okay.
Can I just say that Tara's strategy in this competition was terrible?
It's the worst.
How dare you, Tara? She's a comp beast.
I mean, obviously, she is a Big Brother deity at this point. She beat Jed not once, but twice. But she loses a chunk in her first question, then decides for the rest of the game to only bet one and hope that all of the other three are dumb enough to also have lost all of their chips. Like, what are you thinking? No, of course not.
I love the bold confidence on the first question to bet half of your chips right away, mm-hmm. Before you've got a sense of what the questions are and how they're going to be. And then immediately after to be so scared and not know what to do and then just be betting nothing. Like, nobody, everybody, keep this woman out of the casino, okay? She's going to lose her home if she tries to gamble. Like, keep her out of there.
Also, wasn't this like the sixth or seventh consecutive booth comp? I know it was obviously a little different, but I feel like they have not left the booth in 2 weeks.
And honestly, I'm not even complaining. I think it's a huge contributing factor to how well the season has gone. This is old school Big Brother. It was booths all the time, and there are power shifts every week because anybody can win, and I'm not mad about it. I just feel like the presentation here could have been a lot better. Like, give us a static counter of how many chips they've got. Give me something.
Yeah. In fairness, it's very hard to do that 4 days after the competition is over.
I know, yeah, it's a strict really time limit. You're so busy not showing the
seeds. It's hard to produce
too,
that so. On the fly, Taryn, okay? Yeah.
I feel like I was watching the episode online with some friends, and I was like, oh, those piles, the stacks look very similar. People were like, Brayden's got it, right? Brayden's got it. I was like, they look really similar. And then they said it was a tie, and I was like, they could have just told us the numbers, and then there would have been no moment of false hope for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, we got our HOH, and that's the end of the Monday night episode. Normally, we get our nominees, but that will have to wait until Wednesday. Taryn, we do know information from the live feeds. I suspect people want us to jump ahead and talk about what has happened, no?
Yeah, I mean, there is some information from the live feeds. I don't know how much we know concretely yet, but
we know some names.
We definitely have some.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So why don't we do that? Matt or Kirsten, anything else to say from tonight's episode proper?
King Ty, King Brayden, let's keep going. A couple more weeks.
Okay. Kirsten?
I did think it was very funny when Tara's on the DR like, I'd like to thank me. I got myself here. I did it all. Thank you, me.
What's better? Thank you, me, or thank you to my parents?
Shout out to my parents.
Shout out to my parents for raising an absolute champion. Definitely mm-hmm. takes the cake.
That's got to win some kind of award, right?
Okay.
DDK right. Awards coming up.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So without further ado, let's go ahead and talk about and if you you can still watch the episode on Wednesday, okay? Stop you from watching the shows. Yes, Kirsten?
Wait, sorry. We didn't talk about the lack of Wendy's this episode.
Maybe we'll get it on Wednesday. Wendy's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Be prepared. Whatever they say Brayden ordered, he did order a salad and a baked potato. That is his Wendy's order.
The insight you'd only get from the Monday night RHAP recap.
Don't worry. Rob will join us on Wednesday for the Wendy's segment.
Don't volunteer me for that. All right, here we go. Let's talk about what's happening on the feeds after I tell you about today's sponsor for today's episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Brooklinen. And happy birthday, Brooklinen, because Brooklinen is having a special Brooklinen birthday sale right now. Use the promo code ROB to get $20 off any purchase of $100 or more at brooklinen.com. Want to feel like your HOH in your own home? Well, check out what's going on over at Brooklinen. Freshen up for the spring season with comfort instead with sheets, towels, loungewear, and more from Brooklinen. And with the birthday sale happening right now, Brooklinen is offering site-wide savings on all things comfort for their biggest sale of the year. Brooklinen, they were founded by husband and wife duo Rich and Vicky. Their goal, create beautiful luxury home essentials at prices that don't break the bank. And by working directly with the manufacturers, they ensure premium high quality comfort at every time at a fraction of the retail price. That means ridiculously soft bedding, towels, and loungewear. They're so confident you'll love everything. They have a 365-day warranty. And they've got 75,000 five-star reviews and counting. Hard to argue with that. Of course, we love our Brooke linen sheets at my house that we have to have an extra set for whenever they are in the wash. We want to have Brooke linen sheets on our bed all the time, always sleeping like we're an HOH and never like a have not. Get everything you need for this spring refresh during Brooke linen's biggest sale of the year. Shop the Brooke linen birthday sale going on right now. If you're listening to this podcast after the sale ends, don't worry. You can still go to brooklinen.com and use promo code ROB to get $20 off any purchase of $100 or more. That's brooklinen.com. Enter promo code ROB to get $20 off any purchase of $100 or more. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Kirsten, I feel like we could have gotten a little more energy from you tonight.
I'm trying to keep it together, okay. Rob?
I'm not a dancer.
All right, that's fine. Neither am I. All right. So, all right.
Not equaled.
Braden's HOH. A lot has probably transpired since this competition played out. The live feeds have returned after a long drought. The feedsters were thirsty. Taryn, what do we know quickly at this hour?
So what we know right now is that Beth thinks that she's going home on Thursday.
Okay.
That's what I know for sure. Now, what I think I can speculate is that I think that Beth is on the block next to Kiefer after Tara potentially won the veto to take herself off the block, because it was originally Tara and Beth. Tara won the veto. Kiefer is the replacement. Compies Tara.
Yeah.
And that Beth is now, I see, potentially the plan to go home here. But there is a lot that is assumed.
Okay.
In
so just talking that through, if it's Beth and Kiefer on the block, two votes to evict, that would be Tara and Ty with the two votes to evict. Okay. If there is a tie,
there is
not
a tie
to Sean, then Braden will break the tie, not to Sean.
He wants to break the tie.
Yeah. He's a tiebreaker. So we will see.
My goodness.
All right. I mean, that would be very exciting heading into Thursday night.
Huge if true.
I can see it. I mean, look, hasn't Tara been trying to get Kiefer out of here for like weeks now? She's, you know, Tina would kill me if I did it, blah, 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 blah. But I feel like if she's got a vote here, she might put it on Kiefer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Kirsten, your reactions to those nominations?
Well, I mean, it's exactly what is expected from what we've seen so far. Tara winning the veto. Look at that unstoppable comp beast, you know? Mm-hmm. But I feel like honestly it could go, from what we know right now, it could go either way. If it were a tie and Bray had to make the decision, exciting. It's exciting stuff.
Taryn, what do you think about all that?
I mean, it seems to me that, it's obviously impossible to know how this will be perceived in the jury, but, Braden, you know, missed a huge chance to take a shot in the double eviction. And instead, you know, went at, like just let Tara and Beth hang on the block. And then this week he finally wins an HOH. And it seems like with that power, he is still just kind of like carrying along with Ty and Kiefer. And I think those are two people that are going to be seen as having had more influence over him than anything else. He still hasn't really made a move for himself, it seems. So again, you can't necessarily know how that will look like the jury, but I think that the fact that he was used, he was pawned the week prior to the double eviction is really going to hurt him. And I think he needs to break out of that. And I think he needs to make a move that is his own. And I think that taking Kiefer out of the game really is that move.
Okay. All right, so that would be a good week for Braden.
I think
he should definitely take out Kiefer. I think in the double, it really is not that bad of a decision to just stick with the plan. Acting unpredictable in a high stress situation like that makes people trust you less. Maybe people don't think that Brayden's playing to win. Maybe they don't think it's possible, but I think that it was fine. Like it would have been fine if he had used it and gotten Kiefer out, but it also would have been totally fine this way. And then if we want to be results oriented, I think that Jed would have definitely beat Kiefer in that battle back. And then he's in a much worse spot. So I think everything's fine.
It just like it was fine when Peter didn't use the veto. Super fine.
I really do not think that this is a comparable situation. This is not like this was Brayden's ride or die and someone he really trusts.
Well, neither was Topaz.
I mean, it was there's a significant difference between BB Canwin and this. I cannot believe that.
Does Brayden need to figure out a way to get to the end with Tara? Is that the winning combination for him?
She's got Tara.
No, I think Tara Beth.
With what about with Beth?
I think Beth is the best one for him to go
at this point. Yeah, I agree. Beth.
I think that Brayden. I think right now Brayden can't beat anybody, and the way to win is to carve his own way down. No matter who he sits next to, he could sit next to Ty as long as he is the one making the moves. I think he can sit next to Ty. I think Kiefer's the only one that just beats him no matter what. And so I think that all he needs to do is show that he is his own player and that he is the one making the decisions.
But is he not going to think that, you know, Beth is the move this week? Beth is a big move this week, like just in the way she was a member of the trio and they got Jed out. Now we can get Beth out. Let's keep knocking these numbers down. And I feel like he might think that that's his best option.
I do think he thinks that's his best option. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We agree.
But it's not like a bad option. Like, it's not like it's like, oh, this is the worst thing in the world that anyone could ever do.
But Kiefer's such a blind spot for them right now. I can't understand that.
I don't understand. Where has it been weeks now
that nobody has seen that Kiefer is a big threat? They've been saying since Victoria went out that people are rooting for him. And I just don't understand how that is going so undetected.
We just don't know what happened the last couple of days. So that we may not know that for a while. What might change?
And there is a chance that the plan is Kiefer right now, and they just haven't told him, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. We need more information.
Yeah, we also don't know necessarily who is the architect of these potential moves and how that word spreads around the house.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and again, I think it really stems from the fact that Ty is the one that was left off the block. Brayden is the one that was put on the block in the week that Tara was HOH. I think that signals so much about who is in charge. Ty is the one making a decision with a vote. Brayden is the one that got his life put on the line. And then Brayden continues to completely keep Ty safe over the next couple of weeks, goes along with Ty's plans in the double. I think he needs to make a move that sets him apart and shows that he is his own independent player.
Mm-hmm. Just looking ahead to next week. So Brayden can't play in the final four HOH. What's the best case scenario that Ty wins or that somebody takes out Ty?
I'm really not sure. It depends on how Ty feels. Cause honestly, I was kind of joking, but genuinely, I think there's a decent chance that Ty starts thinking, I don't know if I want to take Brayden anymore now that he's won a couple things. And I know that Ty feels like Beth is a bit of a goat. So there's a chance that Ty is going to vote out Kiefer this week. Because he wants Kiefer gone, and there's a chance that he decides he wants to bring Beth to the end instead. Or because Beth did well in this competition, he might think, I do want Beth gone, but maybe Kiefer hasn't done much lately. Maybe I want Kiefer in the end. I think that Ty is willing to go wherever he feels his chances are best, and that's kind of what I'm loving about Ty right now. But I really can't say for sure who's most likely to keep Brayden around at this point. I think that Kiefer would probably cut Ty. But again, it depends on what this week has done perception-wise inside the house to Brayden's position.
All right.
Well, and again, at Final Four, haven't you heard? It's all about the veto. It's the most important veto of the season. That's my that's my least favorite thing about Big Brother is every single week. This is the most important veto yet. This is, yeah, guess what? It gets progressively more important to win the friggin' veto. Like, shut up. Drives me crazy.
All right. We got some questions from the audience. Let's see what they want to know about this situation. Evan says, is targeting Beth a bad decision, even though the jury seems to
like her game. Who on the jury likes Beth's game?
They had the jury, segment the other day, and they showed a little bit of people being high on her game. I think Tina in particular was the one that was kind of leading the charge on that.
Yeah, they did seem a little bullish on Beth's game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've seen that before, and then votes don't go the way we think they're going to go, right? So, like, it's a toss-up.
Yeah, that was, like, halfway through the phase from when jury started to when the end of the game is going to, take place. So much can change, but I think that's what is going to make these upcoming rounds and getting to the final two so exciting, that literally it feels like almost anything can happen at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and I think part of the issue here is that if it is true that Tara and Beth were on the block and then Tara won the veto, this HOH definitely will feel a bit like he didn't even get his target out. He was trying to target Tara, and then the backup was Beth because he needed to protect Kiefer and Ty. Which I think further contributes to this narrative. So if that's true, I think that was a bad thing for him.
All right. Here's a question. This is from Gary. Did Tara just put the absolute worst HOH comp performance of all time that wasn't a throw? How dare you, sir?
It was so bad.
Kathy exists.
Gary, come on. This was her big night. Trick shot, Tara. This was not a trick shot. All right. Damn it, Reed. Come on. Get out of here. You're grounded. You're grounded.
Go away. Get out of here, Reed.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we have got. Then Giggly Robot. Please, please, please explain why people on the BB Streets hate Beth so much.
We actually had a whole segment about this on the roundtable.
Yes.
Well,
have you been giggly lately, Robot?
Simply the worst. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I don't think I read the question. I was thinking about the giggly robot.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need, I don't think they like to explore. Why do people hate this person? Because that denotes that everybody thinks exactly the same way.
Yeah, but I would say that anyone who does not like her, it's probably based on the things that she does and the way that she acts, that they don't care for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As with most people, if someone doesn't like them.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on Monday night of Big Brother Canada?
You mean like the second premiere of BBCan9? We have a...
Oh my God. You're so dramatic.
I mean, like, the season ended and then it just restarted, so... yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for the possible end game scenarios with these five, so should be fun.
All right. Look, this could be a crazy week. Big Brother Canada keeps on every time you think like, all right, they're about to run out of gas, they keep giving you more. We'll see. Lots of Big Brother Canada still to go this week. Here's what else is coming up this week, and we'll kick things back off with the return of the most highly anticipated live feed update in a week, when Taryn and Chantel are going to be back on Tuesday morning.
Yes, the live feed updates will be back for as long as the live feeds are back. We will talk about whatever has been happening. I imagine we'll try to piece together what we missed over the last few days. We'll try to nail down exactly what happened this week, who is nominated, who won the veto, who is the target. We'll have it all for you tomorrow morning.
All right. Be there. Must see live feed update on Tuesday. And then it'll be a big Tuesday when Melissa, Denny, and Amon join Taryn for the Stock Watch update. Boy, what did the fake double eviction do to the Stock Watch? Find out. Who went all in on Jed? Let's find out on Tuesday night and see maybe who got wiped out.
Also, will Amon eat a chapstick?
Oh.
Find out.
Yes. Matt, do you have any insight? Will Amon eat a chapstick?
I support it if it's not what he wants to do.
Hmm.
I don't think he'll do it. I feel like he's got an argument ready to go. I feel like that's what I heard recently.
Yeah.
Oh, he does, he? Oh, boy.
I don't want Amon to eat a chapstick. That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, I like Amon. I don't want him to have to eat something that's not food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just want to uphold the promises that were made to the audience. So tomorrow night, the court will be in session.
Yeah, Amon gets sick. I don't want these headlines. RHAP, the person gets sent to hospital doing jackass stunt live on broadcast.
Rob, what about the headlines? RHAP podcaster fails to fulfill promise that he made to fellow podcasters and viewers.
That's a little wordy as a headline.
Huge disappointment in everyone's eyes.
Yeah.
This is worse than when Brady didn't use the veto.
This is like a Reddit comment more than a headline. Yeah.
No, it's a headline.
Like, I don't understand it and I won't respond to it.
Yeah.
Who's that? Look at that person.
Okay. And then on Wednesday, how about this? Oh, our friend Kevin Martin is going to be joining Taryn with Jacob Jones coming up on Wednesday. Taryn, I saw Kevin Martin had some thoughts on the betting strategies tonight.
Oh, yes. Well, there you go. I'm sure that'll be fun. Kevin, Jacob, and I will be, yes, there on Wednesday. It should be a blast with the three of us there. And we'll talk through everything. Kevin has a lot of thoughts about everything that's been happening, and he's always fun on the podcast, so it should be a good time.
Okay, check that out.
Not replacing me in the Jam Alliance. It's so hateful.
Then,
look, Kirsten, you were going to beat us.
Whatever. Watch your back, Taryn. That's all I have to say.
Last Wednesday, I got to talk about Survivor Samoa with Puya and Mel Holst. We had a lot of fun. We went 4 hours talking about Survivor Samoa. But this Wednesday, watch out, because another season in the top 40 all-time countdown is on the way. I will be watching my 17th season of Survivor in 2021. Survivor All-Stars with Shannon Gus and Matt Liguori. It's Matt Liguori week.
Wow, what a week. And I'm not eating chapstick. This could be the week that I thrive.
This is how you win.
Yes. This is how I win.
Yes. Yes.
All-Stars, the season everyone is so excited to hear us talk about, yes. Right?
Matt, give everyone. Us a tease for Survivor All-Stars.
A tease for Survivor All-Stars. So you probably feel really strongly about it one way or the other. I don't know that many people lie in the middle. Right?
No lies detected.
Right
about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds about right. I'll tell you, I don't lie on the same side of the aisle that I think Rob might, or that maybe a lot of people do when it comes to All-Stars. I might have done an entire podcast series with Frail Mary about things that we enjoy about Survivor All-Stars. So,
Are you like an under the radar, like Boston Rob stan?
Under the radar. I was on Twitter with you once, and over the radar. My first follow. We talked about this a
just
little
Frail
bit.
Mary. It was Frail Mary has eclipsed you as the number one Boston Rob stan.
Yeah, no, she. That's kind of what we bonded over though on doing that podcast series together. But yeah, no, she can have the number one title. That's fine. Maybe I can do like the number one Rob and Amber title.
Oh, okay, all right. Wow. That's going to be on Wednesday night. Of course, over the weekend, we closed out week two of The Circle. Taryn and I chatted with David Bloomberg, Mari Forth, and the aforementioned Frail Mary Kwiatkowski, and talked about everything that went down in week two of The Circle in our episode 8 / week two recap, which was a lot of fun. And Taryn's going to be back at it with week three of The Circle, kicking off in just over 24 hours from now.
Yes, it should be a good time. It's going to be there's 4 more episodes and then the finale after that. So it's going to be the final stretch here this week for The Circle, and I'm hopeful. It's we've got an interesting setup here.
Okay. Be sure to check out podcasts all week long. Episodes 9, 10, and 11 recaps coming up with Taryn. And then we'll be live again on Saturday for the week 3 roundtable at 7 p.m. Eastern. Of course, got a lot going on this week for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, including our first ever patron karaoke night coming up on Friday. I'm going to watch the NFL draft on the patron Discord on Thursday night with the patrons. Always plenty going on. Rob has a website.com / patrons.
patron. And Tuesday night, I will be doing our monthly new patron orientation on Tuesday night. I will be live and teaching some patrons a little bit about where to how to get all of the patron benefits that are out there. And then I'll be taking some Q&A with the patrons, and then we'll post that if you can't make it live on video over on our Patreon, robinswebsite.com/patron. If you're a new patron or an existing one who wants to come on and check it out, that is in your patron account, of course. Subscribe if you're watching us on the YouTube video or wherever you listen to your podcasts as well. And then, of course, be sure to follow us on social media at Robin's Podcast on Twitter and at RHAP Grams on Instagram, where you can watch so many of our podcast hosts do Instagram takeovers like Kirsten McInnes did recently.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago. The footage is gone, but it lives on forever. The memories in our live. Hearts.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Matt, besides coming back for Survivor All-Stars, what else do you have going on these days?
So the challenge is still on. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really seem to stop anytime. But we did just have the final, the reunion's coming up. So, as well as the challenge All-Stars, not Survivor All-Stars, is currently airing on Paramount Plus. So covering that, with Brian Scally over on the Dom and Colin podcast. And, Aman and I are still doing our, Glee podcast, The Choir Room. So check that all out.
Okay. All right. Great to have you back. Talk to you on Wednesday, Matt. Kirsten, other than lighting candles for Brayden, what else is going on in your world?
So you can follow me on any platform at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. I have a weekly BoJack Horseman rewatch podcast with the lovely Lindsay Wilson, BoJack Horse Pod.
I like the alliteration for the lovely Lindsay Wilson.
I know. I can't find any other adjective that works quite so well as lovely for her. As well as this week will be the part two of the final bonfire for Temptation Island over yes. on the reality TV Rehab Ups feed with Maggie Morgan.
The magnificent Maggie Morgan.
I don't know if that's a strong enough adjective.
Magnificent's not strong enough?
Yeah, you need something better. I love
What's
her
stronger than magnificent?
Marvelous?
I think magnificent is better than marvelous.
Magnificent has a lot of syllables. It's tough to be.
Yeah, but like magnificent, I don't know. It doesn't feel quite right. I'll keep thinking on this and I'll report back on the next Temptation Island pod as well.
The masterful.
The masterful.
It's kind of specific, though.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And then Kowski Cast is still a thing. That's Cat with a K. Riverdale is on hiatus, but that means you have a lot of time to catch up on me trying to quit podcasting about Riverdale every week and Mary not letting me.
You both have to turn your key to end the podcast.
Exactly. I'm like, I quit. And she's like, no, you don't. Here's the link for next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Mary, masterful frail Mary, she's in charge.
Yes. All right. And then Taryn, of course, you'll be catching up on the live feeds. But what else?
Well, of course, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, playing Fall Guys or Among Us or just hanging out. We predicted the Oscars. Lita did much better than me. It's just a good time. Just come and hang out with us. Mm-hmm. Just all the Big Brother coverage, the Circle coverage, tons of stuff coming up all over the place. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
All right. Lots of fun here tonight. Happy to be back here talking some Big Brother Canada. Thanks, everybody, for checking out the show. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Take care. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.